Can you give these guys can you give them all a round of applause? We're praising God for what he's doing, but we are under attack. How are we doing, Dale? He's smiling back there. Okay. Maybe that's fitting. Under attack, if you saw the message title. And if I could cut right to the chase, I wanted to say it as I was walking up here, like, we have some incredibly gifted people in this congregation, and people leading music, worship for us, all the teachers that are here, and there's nothing Saved Months more than to tear this church apart, to tear this community apart, to tear around each individual believer in Christ here. And if we don't acknowledge that right from the start, we don't have a chance. If we don't acknowledge the cross, we don't point up to the thing, but it is always right there. If we don't acknowledge the cross and the power that Jesus has, we don't have a chance. Cutting right to it, I know there's people here today that haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and haven't acknowledged Him as Savior. And if you haven't done that, I hate to say that you don't have a chance, but you don't have a chance. The thief, he comes to seek and kill and destroy each and every one of us. But Jesus came that we can have life, eternal life, better life here than we could ever hope and imagine. And we could have it abundantly. So I'm telling you right now, as we start off this new year, we're going to acknowledge that Satan is attacking. We're going to acknowledge that we don't have a chance if we don't submit to Jesus each and every day. And that if we don't live in the Spirit, we can't be the church that God intended us to be. We can't have the impact in the community that He wants to have here. So with that, I say amen, and we'll get at it. Don's been talking about the Holy Spirit the last few weeks, and again next week he's going to share one more message, and then I'll be sharing in a couple weeks before our family leaves for this sabbatical, which I've never done in my life. And I'm excited about, but also know that as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, I better make sure I do a lot of business with God during this time. Because there's a lot of work to do in this community, in this church. And that's not that it's my work to do, but it's God's work to do. And called as a leader in this congregation, I better make sure that I am standing firm and I'm living by His Spirit and not by spirit of my own flesh. So, I don't know where I'm going to go today, but let's do it. Romans 8. I'm going to go there real quick, because I think if we don't talk about that, we can't fully understand Ephesians chapter 6. Romans chapter 8, it talks about living a life in the Spirit. I'm reading from the ESV here. Starting in verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen to that. Wow, I've never pounded the pulpit. Just did it. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus came down to earth to die for each and every one of us, to pay the penalty for sin for each and every one of us, so that we could have life. And now we need to live life in the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And I pray that you all are experiencing life and peace despite our circumstances. And I know that a lot of you are going through challenging circumstances, whether that's children, spouses, or personal illnesses or battles. It's a struggle. But the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We need to be a church that has life, that people look at us and say, there is life going on there. There is life going on in that person and that person, and I need that. Because there's death all around. Satan has so much control on things around. And if we're going to not acknowledge that Satan is not attacking the church or not attacking each and every one for us, we are way behind. We need to live according to the Spirit. So, Ephesians 6:12, it says this, and I love verse 10, by the way, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." And it talks about putting on the armor of God, and I don't know if we're even going to get into that today. But verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." If you are walking with Christ, if you are a follower of Him, you should be living by the Spirit. And it shouldn't be a wrestle against flesh and blood. And as we maybe struggle with conflicts and relationships, struggle within the church with conflicts, we're not struggling with our brothers and sisters and fellow people. We're struggling against Satan's attack on the flesh, because the Spirit brings life and peace. And that's why we can get into verse 13, and it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand firm." I have this video that I want you to show. This will be the third video you see this morning. It's a video from, it's a clip from the movie War Room. And the wife, Elizabeth, has she has turned her life over to Christ. And now her husband, Tony, she knows it, but she knows her husband is going on this date with another woman. And so here she is in this war room that they call it, if you've ever seen the movie, and the little closet that she's made, and it's been introduced to her, and she's just claiming God's power. So anyway, watch this clip.
I'm not as judge you are. But I'm asking you, please, please, don't let him do this.
Amen. We can clap for that. What I love about it is this intentionality she's got. It's not sin's kind of okay. Yeah, it's crept in. Well, things are still going pretty good. I mean, things at church are good. Our family, it's like, no. She's sending a line right here and saying, Satan, you have no part of this household. And I'd put that out to all of you. How intentional and how serious are you about your faith, about putting your trust in Jesus? Or are we just going to continue to be casual and say, well, maybe things will get better? I think about my family and my failures. Parenting is not easy. That was a obvious statement. But how many times I can just let sin kind of creep into my family or into my kids' lives and, well, Ashley can deal with it. Or things will get better. And it's not just what Satan wants us to do, to just get, feel like things are okay. Or do we have this, I can't even think of the word, the drive, the, are we standing on Jesus and on His Word and on His truth? The church in Ephesus had incredible leaders throughout their time. And God was building some amazing things, doing some amazing things through this church. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 2. And it's one of the seven churches that's mentioned. I'll start reading in verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this: I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Before I get to these next two verses, I could say a lot of these things about Lower Deer Creek. Like, man, we're enduring a lot. Can say a lot of things about my family or whatever in our own lives. Like, well, we're doing a pretty good job here on a lot of things by the power of God. But then in verse 4 and 5, it just, to me, just slams the church. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And it goes on. But do you remember that love you had for Jesus when you first accepted Him? Do you remember what that childlike faith looked like when you were little? When you just had this trust? Do you remember how you were so excited to tell others about the saving power of Jesus? How you were willing to volunteer for whatever position in the church because you know that God was doing things in the church and I wanted to be a part of that. And you had this story and this message to share, and you were so in love with Jesus and His message that you just wanted the world to know it. And that's where I ask you today, have you lost some of that love? And where do you need to repent? Where do you need to turn back to the works that you did at first? I don't want to see this church in 100 years or 200 years or in 2 years or less if Jesus comes again and we have the same message for us. May we be a church that is falling in love with Jesus every single day. And maybe that's a challenge for some of you that aren't getting into God's Word daily. Devotions are a challenge, and now you have this little family devotion to do at home through our Sunday school curriculum. Falling in love with Jesus each and every day. Remember your love that you had at first. Last thing I want to say is just stand firm. I know there are so many people. Maybe I'm pushing too hard. But I do know that there are a lot of you that are standing firm. And you've had circumstances. You've seen God at work. And you are continuing to just love Him more fully each and every day. And I say, keep doing it. Satan will keep attacking you. Keep standing firm. I don't think I'm going to get into all this whole arm of God, but I want to acknowledge a few words. And if you're at Ephesians chapter 6, you can look at it. I didn't count them up, but how many times does the word stand or withstand come up in that section? Then you may be able to stand the schemes of the devil. You got to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. I'll just read them all. Having fastened on the belt of truth. We need to stand having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to stand as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. My wife brought this up to me, and I think it's such a great point that I got to at least share it, that, you know, all these things in the armor of God they're defensive things. All of them are defensive except the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. May we be a church, may we be a people that always has the Word of God on our lips. I know it's easy for me, whether it's going hunting with guys or doing whatever, just have a good time. But may the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, be on my lips all the time. May we be people that are bringing life, bringing truth in the name of Jesus by the Word of God. That's a church that we need to be. That's what we need to stand firm on. Will you guys pray with me as we close up? Lord God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the cross first. And as you as the head of the church, I thank you, God, that you have defeated Satan, that he has no power over us, but we acknowledge that he's at work, but that you have overcome and Spirit has power over darkness. God, I want to be a light. I want this church to be a light, and I don't want to have our lampstand or our light ever grow dim or go out. I pray for teachers, for those that have a big role in this church, that you will help them, help us stay committed to you, that we can fall in love with you more and more in each and every day. And God, I pray for those that are here that don't know you yet or haven't confessed you as Lord and Savior. And I pray that they will be convicted today, that they will find somebody that knows about the light, and they will no longer walk in darkness, and we can celebrate each and every victory that takes place. God, as we go forward today, may we walk in your Spirit, in the life, in the joy that it brings. We know that there are struggles. We know that we have burdens. But may we stand in your strength and in your might. God, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.